time for a fishing report. Hey, Leif.
Hey, Depp. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but, you know, I can only imagine what you're running into out there. I mean, I haven't been out enough. This whole fire season has kind of kept me in the studio a lot more, but I hear stories that, well, especially since we talked last time, the water visibility has gone way down.
Right. Yeah, well, we've... You know, after that fire, we had the massive deluge of apocalyptic rain and crazy weather.
No
and,
kidding.
We're just minus the locusts now, and we'd be full on. But yeah, you know, we have we've had some crazy days, and our given streams have been blowing out individually. There's been stretches. The other day, I was doing a trip with a client. I put the boat in the water, went to get the client, had to pull the boat back out of the water and do a different stretch. We had a great time on that stretch, but then shortly after we pulled off the river, within a half an hour, the stretch we were on blew out too and was zero visibility, and fish just really aren't going to be eaten at that point.
Mm-hmm. Now, clearly they're not going to be able to see, but you could maybe counter that with some bright colors or maybe a different approach, but... There's more to it than that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would, you know, you could use like a dark bug, you could use a big dark streamer that's easy to see, or a white, for that matter, can stick out in some conditions like that in mud. But these fish kind of aren't used to it, so they have a habit of kind of laying low during that. It's almost like we're in a dust storm, you know, ourselves as humans, and we're coughing on it. They're probably coughing on that stuff too, you know, and so they're probably just trying to get in there behind a rock or find a spot that's a little less... mucky than the rest, and just try to be there.
Yeah, you almost imagine that they're dealing with all the changes in their environment, kind of like we're dealing with ours.
Yep, and like you've been talking about, you know, that long picture is coming up on us with this whole thing now, and we're going to have to get used to the change, kind of like the 30-mile fire had given us. This is going to really change the lower half of our river for the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, let's remind folks, because I think a lot of this we've talked about just kind of off the air, but for instance, the 20-mile fire, another big fire kind of in our region, and affected the streams in that region, and initially kind of devastatingly, but in the long picture, the long look at time, you know, there's more of a cycle at play that Mother Nature has. Let's talk about that for a second.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a natural event. These fish have been here through this, and they've managed to flourish through this type of event. And so it's definitely not for... It's not all negative in the end. I mean, us as humans, it can be hard for us to rapidly evolve to this situation as we've kind of rapidly spread ourselves across the face of the valley here. But I guess that's just kind of the nature of the beast. We're going to have to learn to evolve to live with it too, because these fish definitely have.
Well, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, is just how they've developed. So initially, there's a lot more sediment, a lot more. Debris, soil, and different things that get washed in because it can't be held on the soil anymore. So it comes into the stream, which is hard on the fish.
Yeah, well, and you'll probably have almost complete crashes in certain little localized populations too, like during the temperature spikes that were placed on Beaver Creek by that fire. I mean, that did no good for any salmon in those streams. And and then the mudslides that we've seen afterwards will have a way of pushing any fish that are fortunate enough to get out of those systems or we'll just have some die-offs. But you know, it's just that boom and bust of nature, and you know, you can be assured that there will be a spring to all of this, and everything will come back even stronger.
What you had mentioned too, then in a couple of years or so, then the insect population gets impacted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll give us that nutrients. You know, like with that 20-mile, 30-mile fire up in there, it had pushed so much. I mean, we got kind of used to that sediment coming out of the Chewuk, you know, and us as fishermen, we'd just go fish on the Twisp River. It'd always be clear, you know, and it kind of would affect the Chewuk, the whole thing, and the Methow from where the Chewuk came in on down. So if you knew to just fish above the Chewuk on the Methow or up the Twisp, you could find fishing. And just like that, with this event, you're going to have a lot of difference in the river below, mainly Beaver Creek. You're going to have some stuff coming out of Twisp River now because we had that Bridge Creek event. And, you know, we're just going to all have to learn how to live with it. And I think we'll still find that it's going to be good fishing, and that the fish are going to flourish in this in the end.
What I keep trying to get out of you is your explanation to me that you gave me the other day is the insects population.
Right, right,
Even in the downturn of everything initially with the fire and so on, the insects will come back.
Yeah.
They're food for the fish. They'll come back. I mean, it takes a while. Yeah. But
you know, I mean, like we always talk about, the sterility of these streams. They're very sterile streams as they're classified as a freestone stream.
Uh-huh.
They're just not usually carrying much nutrient load. And so now after that 30-mile fire, we'd seen it all finally settle down, and some of that settlement, the sediment settled into the nooks and crannies of the stream there. And yeah, we've seen a real boom in the insect population.
Uh-huh.
And from some of the stuff that I've even heard too, it goes even beyond those fish that love those insects. I mean, it goes up into the surface too, where you know, the more fish in there, the more that they're being drug out by predators onto the bank and being eaten by the scavengers. And also the birds like those insects an awful lot too. So you see it above and below the surface of the water.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we've almost actually burnt off our garden and then added some fertilizer, and now hopefully we're just going to see some incredible fishing down the road because of this, and maybe even a little better than it could have been had it stayed so sterile.
Even though it's the fishing report, I think it's interesting for me, even sort of hope giving, to look at the long view of time and realize this is just another of Mother Nature's cycles.
Oh, it's easy and to get it stuck.
In the short term. Well, we're dealing with so much loss. I mean, everywhere you look, every third or fourth person has been burned out. It's tough to take, and it can be overwhelming, and it's also difficult to look at ourselves as being part of a great big giant cycle, because we're human beings. We get to do whatever the heck we want.
Well, and
generally,
but we can't totally detach ourselves from nature. You know, that's one of the great things that I feel like I benefited in growing up in this valley. I feel a little bit closer to the cycles of things, and even though I've lost my home, I feel like I just lost the stuff that was in a house that I had. I've never had a habit of dragging a lot of things around with me. My family's safe, my gear is safe, and I still see this whole place, and hopefully the people, if we help each other out, just being able to come right back to life being all the stronger and better for it in the end.
There's no good alternatives other than keep moving.
You just got to do it.
So are you finding some fishing holes?
Hey, I'm fishing. You'll notice when it blows out, you're definitely, I mean, you can bang your head against that muddy wall all you want. I wouldn't be doing it. I had a little luck on the last day of the Chewook, and not much though. I would recommend waiting for the water to clear up and then maybe even giving it a day or two, but then you might just find that since those fish had to go a few days without food, just like the ones I always take care of, man, they're that much hungrier when you see them. So when the water's clear, just these big hopper imitations have just been awesome lately. I mean, these fish have just been sucking them down and really not holding back, setting the hooks for you. Pay attention. The river closures have been in effect now. The tributaries are closed. Boulder Creek's still open. You can still go up there and get some little brook trout. But
is that the only one?
Yeah, well, there's a few others, but just reread your regs before you go out now, because we're kind of going into that late summer turnover, some early closures. The Met House is still open, down to Burma, lower Burma, but still there. Pay attention. Pretty much just enjoy the end of the summer. Big hoppers, and finally the attempts should start to hopefully come down, and that'll bring the fish back into real feed mode, and I think you guys will have a good time.
Okay, so definitely keep up on the regs, and maybe watch for windows of some clearer water.
Take those windows of opportunity, and if you had any questions and you want to just check out the blog, go to flyfishersproshop.com, and Methow Fly Fishing Adventures will get you out there having fun, and hey, everybody, fish on, be safe, take care of one another.